So as I was leaving this place, I said I wanted a physical sign, otherwise I'm having nothing else to do with this. This is ridiculous, bizarre, and I'm finished. That's it. So I was walking back to my car and started laughing, thinking they're not going to show me anything. And I looked and there was a spark down there on the ground. I thought, that's probably a piece of glass. I'm not going down there and get that, and I walked on past it. And I was physically backed up. I was walking to my car, and it was like stop. Back up. And I went to get it. And you won't believe, out of this whole big place, what I found there on the ground. Janice then rummaged in her purse and took out a small coin purse. She then pulled a small locket out of it. When she opened it, there was a small object inside. She held it in the palm of her hand. It was a small metal star. Contact with a little gray being, 305, she explained. I didn't want to lose it, so I put it in the locket. It was totally pink when I got it. Now it's turning silver. I handled it carefully, trying to see what it was made of. It doesn't feel like metal. It feels like really hard plastic. It's so small. Oh, not even a half inch. Jay, when I picked it up, I knew where the top point was. There's one particular point that's the top. And I can't put it in that locket any other way. We were playing with it and laughing. As she was putting it back in the locket, on a sudden impulse, I examined it closer. It was then that I noticed it was similar to my ring. I have an unusual silver and turquoise ring that I came into possession of through mysterious circumstances. In the early 1980s, before I became involved in any of these type of investigations, a woman left the ring with one of my daughters with instructions to give it to me. The woman said she knew I did not charge for my services, and wanted me to have the ring in appreciation for the work I was doing. She knew if she gave it to me I would refuse it, but by giving it to my daughter I could not return it. She was right, I considered it too valuable to accept. But because I could not return it I kept it, and put it on the only finger it would fit on, my second finger. Although I normally do not wear jewelry, I have never taken it off since, which also might seem strange. Many people have admired it and asked if I would sell it, or at least tell them where they can find another one like it. I think it may be one of a kind, because I have never seen or heard of another with the same design. There are 7 silver balls placed around the edge, 5 along the bottom and 2 at the top, separated by a silver bar. In the center is a 5-pointed turquoise star. Many people think there may be some sort of symbolism in the design. The only clue to the silversmith who made it is a U or horseshoe mark on the inside. Janice placed her little star over the star on my ring and it matched exactly in size, as though it was a duplicate. Now I, 306, the custodians, was impressed. Could this be a coincidence? I called Patsy from the other room so I could show it to her. We were all laughing, but it was a strange feeling that something unnatural was occurring. Patsy also thought it was unusual that it matched precisely. It was an exact match. Of course, Janice's star was silver-colored and my stone was turquoise. Look at this, Janice said. I have to store it in the heart locket so the top point is up. And that's the way you wear the ring, with the same point pointing outward. Little did we know at that time the precise match of the stars was to be a type of omen. An indication that we would be doing important work together. Had our coming together been pure coincidence? Or was there a higher motive or power behind this? We had been sitting at Patsy's dining room table with my trusty tape recorder discussing Janice's experiences and memories for over 2 hours. It was now time to do the regression. The only problem was deciding which incident to cover first. We went up to the guest bedroom, and as I was preparing my equipment, she told me about another very recent incident. It had occurred the month before in July 1987. So it was very fresh in Janice's mind. When she awoke that morning she was coughing, and as she sat up big clots of blood came out of her mouth. This frightened her, but as she got up she noticed there was no blood on the bed. Instead there was something that appeared to be water over the lower part of her body, and on the bed underneath her. She had not wet the bed, and there was no odor associated with it. It was as if someone had poured water on her and the bed. The only discomfort was a burning sensation in her vagina area. She went into the bathroom and washed her mouth out, and the bleeding quit as suddenly as it had begun. Her little dog was behaving in a very excited manner, which Janice had come to associate with her returning home from work. The blood concerned her enough to cause her to go to the doctor that day, contact with a little gray being, 307, but he could not find anything to explain the clots. I decided to focus on this incident since it was so recent. If there was nothing there, we had plenty of other material to explore. When she entered the hypnotic trance, she dropped to a very deep state immediately. I then counted her back to the night before she awoke in the distressing state, to see what had caused it. I also suggested that she could watch it as an objective reporter if she wished, in order to eliminate any physical discomfort. D, I will count to three, and on the count of three we will be at the beginning of that evening when you're getting ready to go to bed. And you can tell me what's happening. 1, 2, 3. We've gone back to that night. What are you doing? What do you see? J, I'm watching my dog. He's looking around so strange, really strange. And I know he's looking at something I can't see yet. But I know it's there, because I feel it. D, what can you feel? J, it's them. It's them. I want him to go. Deep breath, with me, because I know they're coming. D, has he ever done that? J, yes, he's gone. D, oh? I wonder how he likes that? J, she was beginning to seem apprehensive, I don't know. D, all right. Tell me what's happening. J, my energy's been real low. A lot of stress at work. They're telling me they need to do some work. Apprehensive. And I don't know where we're going. And my head hurts. I immediately gave suggestions that would take away any physical discomfort. In a few seconds her facial sensations indicated she was no longer under as much stress, and the headache had been eased. D, where are they? J, they came through my window. 308, the custodians. D, what? Climb through? J, just through the wall. It seemed to bother her, right through the wall. D, what do they look like? J, not at all as me, but almost. And I know them. But every time it happens it's a little bit scary. Big breath D. Oh, yes, I can understand that. It's only human. But you won't be afraid as you talk to me about it. Do you understand? Her breathing and bodily sensations indicated apprehension. You don't have to be afraid when you talk to me, because I'm here with you. And I'll stay with you. But how many are there? J, her voice trembled. She was close to Des, too. D, do you want to tell me what they look like? J, her voice was still trembling. They don't have any hair. And they have these big brown eyes. And they have skin, but it's not like ours. It's different. And you think they have clothes on, but you don't know if they have clothes on. D, how is their skin different? J, it's not like skin feeling. It feels dry. It feels kind of like paper, but more like crepe paper. Her voice was still close to breaking up. D, I understand what you mean. She began to cry. It was a fear cry. It's all right, I'm with you. What happened? J, she was hard to understand at first, because of the sobbing. They want me to go with them. But I said I wanted to stay a little longer here. I wanted to keep my baby. Sobbing, this was a surprise. She had told me earlier during the interview that she could not get pregnant. D, what do you mean? J, it was time for them to take me, but yet I wanted to stay and keep it for a little while. D, are you pregnant? J, I think so. I don't think they call it that. I don't know what, contact with a little gray being, 309, they call it. They just say it's time to go. D, then how do you leave the room? J, we go through the wall like they do. D, do you feel yourself do that? J, yes, I feel myself do it. They can fix it where you can do that. And you really do go through the, you're gone from your room. D, then your physical body just goes right through the wall? I wanted to clarify that it was not an out-of-the-body experience. The first time this occurred with John, I was surprised to discover that the actual physical body was capable of being taken through solid objects, like the walls or roof. Each time this has been reported since then, I have tried to determine whether it was the physical body or a spiritual experience. The subject is always positive about what occurs. They are never vague or uncertain. J. Her voice was steadier. It has to do with displacement of the molecules. They showed me how it happens. And it's a funny feeling when it starts to happen. D. How does it feel? J. Your body just feels a little numbness. And then you feel it melt. It just melts into like air. It would be air, but you're not air. It's like you're air, except you have a form in the air form. It makes you more of the consistency level of air. What happens is that it's speeded up to the point that your body's a different vibrational rate than the matter you're going through. Therefore you pass through the matter. D. That sounds like a very remarkable thing to do. J. It is strange. D. Then what happens after you've gone through the wall with them? J. It's dark and we're moving. I'm not sure how I'm moving. D. Are they still with you? J. Yes. They're on both sides, and I have my dog. 310. The custodians. This has also been reported in other cases. Once the body is taken through the wall or ceiling, there is an alien being on either side as the person is taken up to the ship. Maybe this is part of the mechanics of how they are transported. The beings have to be present around the human so it can move through the air to the ship. D. Then the dog went through the wall too. I wonder how he felt about that. J. He wasn't afraid. D. Can you see where you're going? J. Breathing heavier again, I just am in the ship. I'm on the table. D. How did you get in the ship? J. I don't know. It's blank. I just know I'm in there. This is another repeatable detail. There often is a blank as they enter the craft while it is in the air. Maybe they also go through the outer shell in the same manner as they left their house. If so, it apparently causes a memory lapse. When the craft is on the ground, they often remember walking or being taken upstairs or a ramp. D. Then what's happening? J. They make. I lie down. And we're gonna do that again. D. Do what again? J. It's like you are at the gynecologist. I don't know how they do it. Because I never get to stay awake. Getting upset, I wanted to know. And I begged them to let me know how they do it. I discovered in my early days of investigation that it was possible to obtain answers even though the physical body was put to sleep. You can go directly to the subconscious. Because that part never sleeps, even during surgery, and can supply objective and thorough answers. Contact with a little gray being, 311, D. I think the way we're doing this now, maybe you can find out. Do you want to find out? J. Sniffling, I think so. D. Do you want to stand back as an observer and watch with your mind, while your body is asleep there? Do you think that's possible to do that? J. I don't know. I feel like I'm there right now. I'm right there now. Right there. She was sniffling. D. Ask one of them who can watch as an observer. And see what they say. No, they say, no. Can we ask questions? Yes. At this point her voice unexpectedly changed. With her answer, yes, the voice sounded more authoritarian, not frightened as before. D. All right. But the body is asleep? Is that how it is done? J. It is not a sleep state. The voice that answered was definitely not Janice's. It was monotone, mechanical, almost robotic. It pronounced each syllable individually, not at all the way we speak by slurring sounds together. At times it sounded hollow, and had almost an echoing quality that was definitely not caused by the tape recorder or the microphone. This was the way I heard it coming from her, and I could not understand how she could naturally make it sound that way. It bore no resemblance to Janice at all. This voice with its unique tone and mannerism continued throughout the rest of the session, and did not change until the entity was told to leave at the end. I was not startled by the shift, because this has happened before. I took advantage of the opportunity to ask questions. D. If it is not a sleep state, what is it? J. It is a level of consciousness to which you are unaccustomed. D. Why does she have to be in that state of consciousness? 312. The custodians, J. So there will be no pain. D. I think that's very good. We don't want her to experience any pain. What is happening that might cause pain? J. Human birth is painful. D. That's true. Is this a birth? J. This is a birth. D. Can you tell me what's happening? J. The same thing that happens in your birth on the earth. D. But on earth it happens naturally. J. It is happening naturally. D. On earth when a birth occurs there are labor pains associated with it. J. That is why you have the altered state. There is no pain felt by the mother. D. But am I correct in assuming that the embryo couldn't be very large? J. This is correct. D. Then it should be able to be passed very easily. J. There will be pain. This human has never had a child on your earth, therefore the canal is different. D. Does something happen to stimulate the process? Similar to birth pains, birth cramps? J. I do not understand your question. D. Is something done with instruments or machines to make the body go into labor? J. It is time for it now in our realm. The 9-month time period which you consider termination, culmination, is simply altered. It is a shorter time period, because of the kind of growth that takes place during the time the baby is carried by the mother. Therefore the organs and the various embryonic states of beingness are developed to a higher level than would be developed in a 9-month time period in your earth years. D. Then it is not the size of a 9-month, or a full-term baby? J. This is correct. D. But it is fully developed according to your standards? J. This is correct. You do not yet understand our standards, in contact with a little gray being, 313, that our standards would mean that the baby is a 9-month baby although the physical size is not such as a 9-month baby. D. Does it have all the characteristics of a full-term baby? J. Yes. And so does its systems. D. In our way of thinking, a small embryo would have a very primitive type of development, and could not survive. J. It requires 4 months' time period if carried on your plane of existence. We maintenance the birth process during the time the mother is carrying the embryo. This particular maintenance causes the systems to develop at a different rate of speed than the normal birth process you humans carry out. D. What is the size of the fetus when it is born? J. It is a 4-month child in physical size, in relation to your birth. D. In my understanding tats about the size that would fit in the palm of a hand, J. It is somewhat larger. D. Has she had this fetus inside of her for 4 months? Yes. Was she aware? J. Not as aware as before. She has time periods when she is aware. It is not a constant awareness. She sensed she was pregnant. She has the same sort of phenomenon you Earth people have, in that the abdomen does expand, and she can tell by that what is taking place. D. Do the periods stop? J. She no longer has periods. D. That's not required for this? No, all you need is the uterus? J. Even the uterus is not necessary. It has to do with the energy of the human body as opposed to hormonal secretions of the human body. D. I'm trying very hard to understand in human terms there has to be that lining of the uterus and the hormones, so the placenta can attach and nourish the growing fetus. J. This fetus experiences life in a much different manner than, 314, the custodians, your human baby that is carried by the mother, in that, as the mother goes about her daily activities, it experiences life on your planet to the fullest that the mother experiences life. D. Then this can be done with a woman of any age. J. Correct. But it has to do with a particular type of woman, in that there are certain conditions that need to exist for the participant in this project. D. Can you tell me what those requirements are? J. Methodical, as though reciting, requirements are dietary. Requirements are maintaining a particular level of existence. Requirements are purity. And there are some others which we can discuss later. D. This would seem to fit most women. J. Not most women. D. In what way wouldn't they be the same? J. Because of the involvement of most women in particular activities. Because of the concentration level of most women. Because there is an interaction with the brain of the woman at the time. Subjects are selected in a manner that relate to criteria of evolvement of the being, of evolvement of the mother. It is an intricate process. D. I think you will see I have many questions. I am very curious. Are you speaking about sexual activity? J. This is a contributing factor. D. Because that does affect hormones, emotions and everything else. J. It has more to do with the essence of the mother than it does with the hormonal physicalness of the mother. You might call this the spirituality level, in your earth language terms. D. Then every woman isn't suitable. J. This is correct. D. Has this been done to her before? J. Correct. D. In my work I have been told that reproduction is also done by cloning. J. There is a project for cloning. It is separate and apart from this project. Some women participate in both, some only in contact with a little gray being. 315. 1. D. If you can have births in this way, why is the cloning process also needed? J. Because there is a genetic difference that takes place in cloning, that is lacking in this other type of project. D. Can you explain? I do understand something about cloning. That it is an exact duplicate. J. Cloning is an exact duplicate. The other method takes outside stimuli into the process, other than just the mother's essence. There are two separate and distinct types of individuals produced. D. Then the clone is an exact duplicate. The other one has a different type of genetic makeup. Would that be true? J. This is correct. For the other also contains all the extra sensory stimuli the mother receives during the time period of the embryonic state. D. You mean the clone or the natural one? J. The natural one. D. Would this mean that the clone would be a colder, emotionless person? J. Not unless the mother is of the same emotional makeup. The problem you are having understanding this, is that the clone contains and is everything the mother is. With the natural childbirth, as you would call it, the child contains and is everything the mother is, plus all that the mother has been exposed to during that time of carrying the embryo. D. So there is a difference. J. A definite difference. We are trying to explain to you, that as the embryo rests in the mother's womb so it lives her life with her. D. Experiences what she is feeling. J. Exactly. D. And the clone does not do this. Well, can I ask you how this embryo was germinated? Was the father also human or what? J. This will not be discussed at this time. The information will come to light. First we must know of a trust in you. 316. The custodians. D. That's perfectly all right with me. I just ask many questions, as long as that is not objectionable. J. We wish to see what you do with this information, and how it is used. D. I will do whatever you want me to do with it. J. It is not to be disseminated to the public until you have the entire picture. D. I'm willing to accept that. I don't want a half story anyway. A half-truth. J. We must remind you to protect the individual. D. I have placed protection around her while we are working in this state. Is this what you mean? J. No. What we mean is that, with what you do with the information, there can be a direct effect upon this person's life. D. That's very true. Most of the people I work with don't want to be known. They want to be anonymous. This is very important because they don't want their life disrupted and I try very hard to respect that. J. This is why we are talking to you. For the reason that you are a very responsible individual. D. And if it is within my power no one will know who she is. There are always things that are beyond my control. But with what I can control, her name would never be revealed. Is that what you mean? J. At this point in time it must remain so. There is other work we must do. She is a very highly evolved subject. She understands more than most subjects. Therefore we have a bigger project in mind for her, which we do not wish to be interrupted by curiosity. D. Yes, and there are many curious people. It seems as though I'm the one that will have the problems. J. Not if we can be allowed to protect you also. D. I would like that. Because I feel I'm going to be traveling into places where there is negativity. J. Exactly. D. And skepticism. Contact with a little gray being, 317. J. Exactly. D. And I would welcome any protection you could give me. J. You will know through your ring that we are with you always. This was my star turquoise ring that was mentioned earlier, that I had obtained in a strange manner, and which I have never taken off. D. I wondered about that ring. Can you tell me anything about it? J. You Earth people always think that the UFOs come from the stars. The star to you should be your symbol that you are connected to it, and that you are with us in thought always, for the work you have become involved in, helping to dispel the notion that we are bad and evil beings. D. Yes. Because the information I have obtained seems to be positive. J. It is positive. However, I must warn you there is and there does exist a force out of which can come the other side of the coin, as you speak in your Earth time. D. But I always believe you draw to you what you want, what you expect. J. This is correct. D. I have not expected to find that negativity. J. But you must know and be aware that it does exist. You must also know and be aware that in your work you will perhaps come in contact with that side of the beings. However, it is a choice each individual must make, as to what side they work on. There is a definite choice to be made. D. I have talked of this negativity. And I don't want to be involved in that side. J. If you have made your choice, then you do not have to fear, for you will not be involved in that side. It may rise about you. It may come around you, but you will be protected from it working with you. 318. The custodians. D. That is very good. I appreciate the art, because all I want is information. J. And that is what we wish to share. D. All right. Can I know who or what I am speaking to? J. I do not understand your question. D. Well, I don't believe I am speaking to Janice's subconscious, am I? J. No. You are not. D. Who am I speaking to? It doesn't have to be a name. I'm just curious as to what. J. You look on the face of the book Communion, and you will see my picture. This is why the being, Janice, was affected by that cover in the manner in which she was. She is most familiar with us. She knows that in Earth perspective there are times when it seems we might cause pain, or it would be observed by someone from Earth that we are unkind and unfeeling beings. She has been allowed to know the story behind that, in that it is simply the perspective of the being, and she has been able to shift perspectives to the point of understanding the meaning behind what we do, and any kind of pain we might cause her. She knows this is incidental to any kind of problem she might have with accepting what she has agreed to. She is aware and has been most often reminded by us, that at any moment she can and is allowed to refuse. She also knows that from us there would be no ramifications in her non-participatory action at any time in which she feels too uncomfortable to continue. She knows and has been told that we help her in any manner in which she needs help at any time. D. Those are all very good things. You see, one of the theories people have is that your people are very cold and unfeeling, and cause pain and don't care about humans. J. By your standards that is correct. The problems people have is that they cannot come to our side, and see from our eyes. Individuals such as Janice, to whom you speak, are able to effectively become us and know our purpose and know our minds and know our beingness. Therefore they understand. Contact with a little gray being, 319. We are not involved in causing pain simply for the matter of causing pain. Because of the fact that we do not feel pain as you feel pain, it is sometimes hard for us to understand that we cause it. D. I see. Is this because your nervous system is different? J. Exactly. D. Then you have not developed in the same physical way that humans have? No. Are you capable of emotions? J. We are capable of simulated emotions, but we do not have them built in as you humans carry them around. D. Are you more like A? I don't want to say a machine like a manufactured person, than one that is genetically reproduced. J. Excuse. The question is unclear. D. I'm trying to think how to word it.